What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
I don't know what it is, but it's phenomenal.
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
What, am I missing something?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The reality is, humans are humans are humans, and that's never going to end.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
It's a big, big deal.
Hello. You speak English, sir? Paulo, usted inglés?
60% of the time, it works every time.
I've done the math on this. We've talked about it on this show before.
That's a fact.
If you learn a little something about yourself.
That's us, dude.
That's why we're radio shows.
That's right.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy.
I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad.
Let's do this. Discussing issues that matter to you. Finding real answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now, here is your host, John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.
Can you believe I'm being accused of harassment right here on Rush to Reason?
Because of how short you were this last summer.
They were not that short.
Those things were super short.
No, they weren't. I have my wife's approval. And I, you know, I mean,
well, I was because your wife liked them doesn't mean we did. I'm just saying, Dan.
I just think Charlie likes my legs. That's what I'm thinking.
No, I don't think so. No, he's shaking his head no. I'm shaking my head no. Made both of us uncomfortable that day. Dan wore shorts one day this summer. Cassie's in studio.
They were long
Cassie
enough
George.
To have pockets in the legs. I mean, they were what do you call those? With pockets.
I don't know. But
they were not Daisy Duke.
I was
going to
say, Daisy
Charlie.
Duke had pockets,
even,
too.
No.
Daisy Duke had pockets.
These were not
because they like showed through the bottom of her shorts.
They were not even close.
They were pretty short because, like, the men's style is to be like at the knee or a little below.
I know they call those capris.
No, those go to the like
yeah.
A
that's
mid-calf.
What have you noticed that most shorts go down to like the ankle now? I mean, it's like why even bother
wearing them like a sagger would? They are yeah. If you pull them up like you're supposed to be, they're not that bad.
Do you see those pictures of people the shorts men used to wear in the 80s?
They were pretty short.
They were really short.
Or like what you were wearing.
No, they were not even that close.
Did you hang on to those from back then?
I went to the 80s vintage rack.
I think he was wearing those from back in the 80s, Charlie. He just hung on to those shorts all these years.
I went back to the 80s
vintage. I think your wife liked them because you wore them back then. She was like, ooh, honey. Yeah. Giddy up.
Yeah.
Styling. Yeah, that's Rush to Reason. There we go. Starting off the day right.
Right. We've got to be the most impressive radio show out there.
Probably not. That's why we're only on KLZ 560 in Denver. No other Crawford stations anywhere in the whole country.
You know, we've been on for a little over 2 years now. That's making us one of the longest running shows in Denver anyway.
Well, that's true, actually.
You know,
now that you say that.
A lot of new shows out there.
Well, that's... No, you got a point there.
We're getting to be the old man on the block.
Hey, you got a point. I never thought about that.
Yeah, we're the show with longevity.
That's one way to say it. Okay, so here's a question for you.
Go ahead.
We were talking about clothes before we came on. Because our famous intern over here works at a clothing store that she'll be at for Black Friday.
Oh, really?
You couldn't pay me all the money in the moon, you know, from here to the moon and back to work at a department store on a Black Friday.
No way.
So I'm glad it's you, Cassie.
No way.
Are you gonna pull the mic over? What are you doing there?
Yeah, Cassie, you know you're a braver man than we are.
Yep. Yeah, so I just kinda got roped into it. They said, we don't have any help. We're really short. Can you help us? And I'm just really nice. So I said,
so you
no,
said
I'm
yes.
Fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's
so
a question.
Pray for me.
Here's a question for Dan. What would you wear, Dan, no one would ever recognize you in? What is some, besides the short shorts you wore in here that one day, what would you wear that nobody would recognize you?
Oh, that's a great question. Bib overalls. Nobody would has ever seen me in bib overalls.
Okay.
Because I've never seen me. In bib overalls.
No, for me, it would be like a scarf.
Really?
Oh, geez.
You don't like scarves?
No.
Because you didn't spend much time in the upper Midwest, did you?
I don't care if I had.
That's pretty much survival gear.
A scarf?
Uh-huh. No, see, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because unless you want to wear the face mask, you put the scarf on.
I'd wear the face mask.
Yeah. Well, you would.
Yeah, I'm not a scarf guy. Yeah. I'm also not a big hat guy, period. You don't see me in a hat very often. I
wonder how many police lineups you'd end up in wearing the face mask.
A lot, probably. Look at that guy with the beady eyes.
Yeah, that guy.
That's the guy.
That's the guy. We could tell by the face mask.
Corduroys. You ever wear corduroys?
I think I had a pair or two back in the day.
Didn't we all?
Yeah.
And cords were like it.
Yeah.
They were the thing to wear at one
time.
See,
but I was never into fashion.
You weren't?
No. No, I never. I just, whatever. I was not a fashion guy at all.
Really?
Ever. No. Nope. Pretty much. That's
even growing up
me.
As a teenager, you weren't into fashion?
No, I didn't like all the fancy jeans. I didn't like any of that stuff.
Wow. That I'm surprised at.
No. No.
I did.
Yeah, I know you did.
As a matter of fact. Yeah. Well, I've been buying my own clothes since I was like 13.
The only thing I had to have, and that's because my buddy Fred Herman had them, and I had to have these. I had to have coaching shoes.
Coaching shoes? What
coaching
are those?
Coaching shoes. Well, they were the shoes that coaches wore on the sidelines. And they were just really cool.
What do they look like?
Kind of like golf shoes, but without the...
Cleats?
Without the cleats.
And they're called coaching shoes.
Yeah, they're called coaching shoes. They were really cool.
Never heard of them.
Yeah.
Really?
I had to have a pair of those.
Coaching
my mom
shoes.
Thought I was nuts because they were white. Who in the world wears white shoes?
I think I heard that a time or two when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Because nobody wore white shoes back then.
You know, like the Nikes with the white shoe with the red stripe?
Right.
Yeah, swish.
Remember when Converse were the things to wear?
Yeah.
They're coming back.
Are they?
Yeah. Actually, they are. Little canvas Converse. Yeah, those are the kind of thing to wear today. We wore them just because they were cheap.
Yeah, we wore cheap stuff, too.
No, honestly, yeah. We wore them because they were cheap. They were the cheapest tennis shoe you could put your kid in. It was a Converse. Canvas.
So who was it back then? Was Kmart cheaper or Payless? I can't remember. You know, you kind of look around.
I don't know. You go both stores, basically.
Yeah.
Or Sears.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sears or Penny's.
One of the three. You know, yeah. Sears, Penny's, Payless, and wherever.
Yeah. I mean, never went to those fancy shoes places.
Shoot. No, not us. No. No way. Not. Oh, no. Couldn't shop there.
Oh. So what did you guys do for winter boots?
Usually they were hand-me-downs from somebody else.
Right. So did they usually have a hole or two in them? Did you have the ones with the metal clasp?
The rubber ones with the metal clasps, yes, I hated those things.
Right, and so then what else did you have to put inside of those to make them work?
As many trash bags as you
could. Trash bags or bread loaf bags.
Whatever you could bread put bags. Your shoe in or that's your right. sock inside of to stay warm.
Yeah, to keep dry. Dry was the main thing. So a lot of bread bags.
Or bread bags or...
We didn't have plastic shopping bags back then.
No, but I had newspaper bags. Because I was a newspaper
those
boy.
Those would work. Those would work.
So newspaper bags worked really well. The green ones. You put them in a green bag and put your feet in there. And...
Yeah. But bread bags.
Oh, yeah, okay, just as a side note,
real
quick.
Were all paper, Cassie, so you couldn't use a shopping
bag. No, and as a side note, and Cassie would not understand this, neither would any other millennial. We did not have, they did not make good snow boots in that day and age. They did not exist. I don't care how much money you had. I don't care what you went out to try to buy. Nobody, I'm not kidding, nobody had good, I mean, shoot, stinking ski boots were leather. They laced up. They were leather ski boots back in the day. Remember that?
No, I never went skiing, so I have no idea.
No, they were leather ski boots. They did not make these fancy fiberglass, whatever these, you know, these urethane things are that they've got today. No, they didn't exist back then. They were leather with steel bindings where you actually had to, like, tie it. Didn't you tie yourself into the bindings or something back then, Charlie? He's shaking his head. I think so, yeah. I don't know. Some of you that are older than I that used to ski would know, but they were tough. Yeah, you look like Frankenstein walking around. They were tough.
They still look like Frankenstein.
Nobody made a good boot back in the day. So we have come, our kids today, all I'm going to say is when you can go down to wherever, Walmart, and buy a decent set of snow boots for like $15, $18, whatever they are, you could have never done that in our day. So in some cases, some things, they definitely get better and cheaper as time goes
by. Oh, yeah, I mean, you can't beat what you pay for winter apparel now at Walmart and stuff like that. And stuff actually lasts a season. It's pretty amazing.
When we were kids, Dan, you couldn't stay warm. I don't care what you put on. You could not stay warm.
Well, the only reason you stay warm today is because of global warming. It's just a lot warmer out today than it was.
Oh, speaking of which, so I read something last night real quick before we go to our break. Last night I read that, you know, they're talking about the polar ice caps and in Antarctica especially, how the caps are getting smaller and the ice is actually melting from underneath.
Yeah, that's because of your SUV.
No, what they have found is there is some geothermal activity from the ocean floor. So basically like a volcano underneath that is basically warming up the bottom of the ice.
And once again, that's because of your SUV. That volcano would not
pretty
be ticked off.
Yeah.
and boiling over.
That's it?
Had it if
that's
it wasn't
why?
For your SUV.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same premise that, you know, that's why Sharknado is a documentary.
There we go. That works. All right, let's do this. U.S. Gold Coin is coming up next. Andy Goss is going to join us tomorrow at the 4 o'clock hour. You don't want to miss Andy. He's always got great things to say when it comes to how to protect your wealth. We call it wealth insurance, usgoldcoins.com, 1-800-468-2646. Call him now. Don't forget to ask for your free gift. All you have to do is mention Rush to Reason.
On September 13th of 2017, Congress decided to raise the national debt ceiling and issued almost $600 billion in bonds. This means every dollar in the world will be worth a little less, while everything else will be a little more expensive. It's called inflation, and there is very little we can do to stop it. This is scheduled to happen again in December. If the government can only make $600 billion last for 3 months, how are we supposed to expect them to keep our economy afloat forever? There is something you can do about the rising tide of inflation. Andy Goss from usgoldcoins.com wants to teach you how to protect yourself against inflation by collecting valuable gold and silver coins. That's why as a KLZ listener, Andy's offering to give you his 3 CDs, The Federal Reserve, The Definition of Money, and How to Protect Your Wealth, all for free. All you have to do is go to usgoldcoins.com or call 800-468-2646 and mention KLZ. Stem the tide of inflation and secure your future with real, authentic, and very valuable U.S. coins by calling Andy Goss at 800-468-2646. That's 800-468-2646 today.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason. Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, John Rush, Dan Muir, Cassie George in with us today. And we're I don't know how we got on the topic of clothing, but you couldn't buy warm clothes when we were kids, Dan. I'm not joking, by the way. That's not a joke. We couldn't. You just layered up as best you could. And you still got cold, right? And
you lived
in a cold part of the country.
Yeah,
by
we
the
did.
Way.
I mean, you know, when we got to the snowmobile suits, then we could pretty much keep warm.
What'd you do for boots though back then? Because like nobody had Sorels back then.
Oh no, you had. I mean, it was layers. It was socks. It was bread bags. It was the
you
whole.
Did
bit.
Whatever you could, right?
You had to keep your feet dry.
And you always bought the boot like a size or two bigger, right?
Yeah,
because you wore two pairs of socks.
Yep, and then sure enough, 5 minutes after you're outside, you step into a snowbank that's so deep, the snow goes into your boot. Your feet get wet anyway, and now you can't get rid of the water because it's all inside your bread bag. It was awful.
It was terrible.
It was really bad. How we all didn't get pneumonia and die, I have no idea. Actually, I think the cold weather was more dangerous than riding around the car without a seatbelt.
Well, you know, it goes back to yesterday's conversation with Steve House, and we were talking about opioids, though. And the reality is, we are not as tough of a society today as we were even 25, 30 years ago.
Not even close.
We've actually turned into a bunch of wusses.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it.
Well, just for me, just moving here has turned me into a wuss.
Really? You're going to admit that?
I will, because I'll tell you what, when I go back to Minnesota next week and it is 30 degrees out and 80% humidity and it's like I'm going to freeze to death.
No, you are.
I know I am.
Yeah, because you're not used to that.
No, not anymore. I mean, I remember when I first moved here, I spent the whole winter and never put on a jacket.
Okay, so here's something I picked up yesterday. Delaware ponders allowing students to pick race and gender and hide it from their parents.
Seriously?
Seriously. Delaware says a proposed education regulation in Delaware allows children to self-identify as any race or gender, regardless of reality. All students enrolled in a Delaware public school may self-identify race or gender, Regulation 225 says, and that will be maintained in official records. The regulation stipulates that students' parents may only be notified of their child's trans race or transgender identification if they are supportive of the student and or his confusion. So, in other words, if you're not supportive of your kid, you may not even know that he or she is going through this at school.
But pull your kids out. Get your kids out of public schools.
Every parent should be outraged by this regulation, says Nicole Thies, a president of the Delaware Family Policy Council. It's parents who oversee this care and the protection of their children, and she's right.
It is my responsibility to raise my kids, not that of the state or the school.
And in some cases, the kids or the schools are the ones that are actually putting some of these nonsense ideas into the kids' heads.
No, it is the school. There's no question about it. I mean, okay. So back in the day, you know, we used to have sex ed class.
Yep.
Okay. And basically it was birds and the bees. This is how the plumbing works and this is what happens, right?
Right.
Now it's, oh, so now if you want to be this other trans whatever, or have you thought maybe that you really feel this way? Or maybe you're the, so they put all these suggestions into the minds of these kids and we wonder why they're all confused today.
Well, sex education classes here will be co-ed if a student's gender identity didn't match his or her real sex. A student shall have the opportunity to participate in the program of instruction dealing exclusively with human sexuality that is consistent with the student's gender identity, regardless of the student's assigned sex at birth, the guidelines say. School districts and charter schools shall work with students and families to ensure boys have access to girls' locker rooms and vice versa.
Okay, so where was that policy back when I was in high school?
It didn't exist.
No, it didn't. How many guys do you think are going to take advantage of this just for that?
A lot.
A lot. This is insanity.
That's stupidity.
This is dumb.
It really is.
It really is, John. But not only that, it's the decay of our society.
Yeah, and we talk about this a lot just because this is in Delaware. Don't think for one second this won't come to Colorado, because it most likely will.
It probably is already here somewhere.
Well, you got it. Yeah, you got a good point there. I don't know where, but it's possibly
yes. It's probably here.
All right, so here's something else along these lines. Minneapolis, Dan, your neck of the woods.
Minneapolis, I'll be there next week.
Minneapolis restaurants ask, would you please use gender-neutral pronouns when addressing the staff? Okay, Dan?
Okay, so the person that's going to serve, the food server, is going to come up and serve my food, and so do I address them as food server?
Well, you have to use the proper pronoun.
Well, how do I know which one to use?
Okay, well, there was a morning distracted by a message from the office that you didn't actually ask for almond milk in your half-calf macchiato. The noisy night out when you misheard your date's drink order and returned to your two-top with gin drink rather than a rum one. And there was probably at least one. The time you haphazardly guessed at the gender of your server, throwing out a tentative, excuse me, miss, as you tried to track down your check. Issuing what you might thought was being polite. Thank you, sir, as someone slid your beer across the bar and guessed wrong. It's why a Powderhorn May Day Cafe, a small sign taped to the counter, bears a polite request. The May Day Cafe asks that you use gender-neutral language when addressing its employees. Thank you.
You know, this cafe is so appropriately named.
The May Day Cafe?
Because you know what you say? Yeah, I was going to say, when an airplane is in distress, you know what it says, May Day. This cafe is in distress.
Well, a similar note, modeled after May Days, went up next to the cash register at Taco Cat's Midtown Global Market. Please use gender-neutral language when addressing our staff. Thanks for being a pal. So do we use pal from now on? Hey, pal.
Yeah, but pal, doesn't that refer to the male gender?
I'm asking you.
I mean,
okay, well, millennial is pal millennial, neutral
bring the
gender?
Mic back around. Is pal neutral?
Is pal neutral? I would say so.
Be a pal, Dan. Come on.
Be a pal. Be a pal. Come on.
Guys, is guys gender neutral?
No.
I mean, sometimes.
Because I hear girls referring to all their friends as guys.
Yeah.
All the time.
Come on,
guys. I mean,
guys.
I might walk in the house and be like, come on, guys, let's go do this. I think that one can be more.
Really?
But,
okay,
but
so,
it's weird because I wouldn't address a group of guys and say, hey, gals, like, let's go. So I don't know if guys
I've had some in my car that you could do
a...
that.
So do you want to know the gender-neutral pronouns, Dan, real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm looking it up as we
speak.
I
have no idea.
Well, I'm trying to find them. Hold on. Okay. There's normally he, she, it, one, and they, right?
Can you say that a little bit faster?
He, she, it, one, they. What are you laughing at?
Okay, go ahead.
Now, I'm still trying to figure out where the gender-neutral ones are. Wow, this is a long article.
It's the blank page.
Holy cow.
It's the blank page right after that one.
Is there a gender-neutral pronoun? Because he is no longer accepted as a generic pronoun referring to a person of either sex, it has become common in speech and in informal writing to substitute the third person pronoun they, them, their, and themselves, and the non-standard singular themselves. So you, from now on, you need to just say them, or them. There, or they, or themselves, or themselves.
Okay.
So Dan is no longer a he. He's a themselves.
I'm a himself.
Oh, you're themself.
No, themself, not a himself, a themself.
You're themself.
I'm themself.
So I could say something like, see, how would I use that in a sentence?
Them.
Because normally where you would say he.
Them is coming over tonight?
Yeah, themselves is coming over tonight.
Themselves is coming over tonight? A bunch of themselves got
hey,
in
the themself, give me the check. I mean.
Excuse me, them. Can them, I pass some more water, please?
Them.
Is that all that works?
Now, you can also use they, psi, and here. H-I-R.
Like they're going to hear it as here. Here.
Hey, here.
Hey, here. No, not the H-E-R-E. The other here.
The H-I-R.
The H-I-R.
Here.
Yeah, the other here.
Hey, you. That probably doesn't work either, does it?
No, that's got to offend somebody.
Just by saying, hey, you.
Because you say, hey, you, and then they'll look at you and go, I have a name.
Oh, that's true. The gender neutral pronoun blog. Oh, my word. This is giving me a headache. He laughed, she laughed, it laughed, they laughed. Invented pronouns. Ni, vi, Spivak, z, ze, and xe.
Hey, Spivak. Not over.
Spivak. S-P-I-V-A-K.
Okay, so
Spivak.
What does Spivak mean? Does it say like this? Is just this the term you can just throw out?
It gives
out
an example of a laughed. In other words, E-Y, a laughed. I called M. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I'm not joking. This is really stupid, Dan. We as a society have become so stupid that we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, we are totally suffering from affluenza.
Yeah, that's a great way of saying it. Not influenza, but
no, affluenza. No question
so affluent,
about it.
We don't know what
this
we're doing.
This is it. We have nothing else to worry about. We have no other concerns. There's nothing wrong.
No. So, by the way, all of this, I'm just getting prepped for later in the show. What are we doing? 5:30? Cassie, 5:30, it's the laugh-off.
The joke-off, you mean?
Joke-off, yeah. Whoever laughs first loses.
So now, is this a point system? Or
yes. It's a contest.
Okay, we got to go over the rules before the 5:30.
Hey, what's the rules?
I don't know.
The rules are you can't laugh or you lose. I get a point. If I make you laugh, I get a point.
Okay, but well, how?
If you make me laugh, you get a point.
Okay, so it's like golf. The one with the fewest points wins.
Correct.
Okay, so what's the cap?
What do you mean, what's the cap?
So the first one to 10 loses?
No, we're just going to keep playing until we run out of time.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. That's what I was going
now,
to say.
I think also if you're giving the joke and you laugh while giving the joke, you lose. So let's say you're giving me the joke.
Yeah.
I'm not laughing, but I make you laugh while you're delivering it. I get a point. Right, Cassie?
No, you don't get a point. I get minus two.
No, I get a point.
No, I think John's right.
Yeah, I get a point.
Because I thought whoever had the most points loses. So that's how we got to figure this out.
Okay. We will convene and figure out the rules.
Okay, either
we
way.
We will talk about them before we start.
I'm practicing. I'll give a punchline in a little bit here. Okay, let's do this. We have got Bruce Simmons coming up next. Now, he is an expert when it comes to reverse mortgages. If you're somebody that is over 62 years of age and you feel like you can benefit from a reverse mortgage, and there's some qualifiers with that, and what you need to do is really just call Bruce. He can walk you through it. He is a reverse mortgage specialist because that's all Bruce does. 14 years of experience. He'll meet you anywhere along the Front Range you want to meet. 303-467-7821 is the phone number. That's Bruce Simmons. Call him now and tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
Bruce Simmons cannot stress enough the importance of hiring a specialist for your reverse mortgage. Reverse mortgages are extremely unique loans with a lot of flexibility for the homeowner. You need someone steeped in information who can lay out every available option. For instance, how do you want to use the equity in your home? Would it make sense to draw out a lump sum, or do you need a monthly income for retirement? Should you set up a line of credit for the future, or do you simply want to pay off your existing mortgage? Instead of a loan officer who merely dabbles in reverse mortgages, you need someone with a comprehensive grasp of this complicated program. For nearly 15 years, Bruce Simmons has specialized exclusively in reverse mortgages. As far as he knows, Bruce remains the only certified reverse mortgage professional in the Front Range. Don't mess around with your money. Set up an in-person consultation with KLZ's reverse mortgage specialist at 303-467-7821.
John Rush selects only the best of the best auto repair shops to become Colorado Select members. He chose Extreme Auto and Larry's Auto as members of Colorado Select Auto Shops because he trusts Dennis Brewster and Jeff Kitty to improve the auto repair industry as a whole just by being themselves. Colorado Select shop owners help their customers by helping each other. An extremely unique perspective in the auto industry. You'd likely never see an auto shop loan a tool or offer helpful advice to another because they want to beat the competition, not help each other out. But the owners of Colorado Select member shops are different. Dennis and Jeff know each other and all of the Colorado Select shop owners personally. And Extreme Auto owns so many expensive tools, Dennis frequently loans them to Larry's. And Dennis doesn't hesitate to ask for help from Jeff when he runs into a tricky transmission problem. Take advantage of the combined expertise of the best mechanics in the business by choosing a Colorado Select member shop for your next vehicle repair. Select the best at Colorado Select.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And this is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. John Rush, Dan Muir, Cassie George with us. And Jacqueline is now joining us from Bristlecone Shooting. And I didn't get Jacqueline's last name.
Clark.
Jacqueline, that's easy.
Yep.
Okay, I'll add that to my notes. Jacqueline, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So first off, tell us about Bristlecone Shooting Range.
So we're located in Lakewood, right near the corner of Alameda and Union, right by St. Anthony's Hospital. And we are a 14-lane indoor shooting range, and we have about 5,000 square feet of retail, two full-time gunsmiths, and a huge selection of training classes as well.
Okay. So you also sell guns?
We do. Mm-hmm.
Just gave a thumbs up.
John loves guns.
I love guns.
He
guns
does.
Are awesome. There's, you know,
hey, John, what's your what's the only gun you don't like?
The one I don't own.
That's right.
That's a good answer.
Pretty much. And I won't say how many I own, but I like guns. Let's just say that. They're all, as you know, unique and individual. And when somebody says, what do I buy? That's a really, really broad question, isn't it?
It is. We get that all the time.
And I'm being very serious. Yeah. I'm not being funny with that because really, it's like saying, you know, I do a car show on Saturdays and people will say, what car do I buy? Well, you know, I don't know. Where do you drive? How much do you drive? How many people are you going to haul? What are you going to do with the vehicle? Do you need all-wheel drive, four-wheel drive, front-wheel drive? I mean, there's so many questions to ask. Selling somebody a gun is no different, right?
It's exactly the same. It all depends on what you're going to use it for, your body size.
Hand size.
Experience level. Exactly. Yeah.
Because no joke, it really comes down to a lot of those things. I have bought and sold guns because my hands, and people on Facebook Live can't see this, but I don't have very big hands. I've got kind of a small hand. I actually wear a ladies large glove. So when I buy gloves, I usually go to the ladies section. Yes, I'm going to give my man card up for a minute, but I usually will go to the ladies section and buy ladies large because they never have men's small. Most places, by the way, those of you that stock gloves, I don't know why you do this, but you never stock a man small. Well, I wear either man small or a ladies large. Mm-hmm. They're pretty much the same glove. And so, you know, relating that back to the gun size, every grip is a little bit different, and some grips have a bigger body, and depending upon the size of the body, they may not fit me very well. So I've actually bought some guns and then sold them, Sig Sauer being one of them, because the Sig grips tend to be much bigger, and they just don't fit my hand very well. Great weapon, by the way. Nothing wrong with that weapon at all, but for me personally, just doesn't work super well.
Exactly. We always encourage our customers to shoot as many as they can before they make a decision. And luckily, we have a range right there on the property, so we've got 75 different handguns to rent. And so you can really go through and try all the 9mm concealed carry options, for example, and figure out what fits your hand, what you're accurate with, what you're going to actually carry and use and practice with.
Okay. So and typically by then, I'm guessing, but by then, once you know, you know, somebody's there, they're helping you, they're walking you through this whole sales process. And even if it's not the specific gun you're going to buy, but they know, okay, this is basically the, you know, the grip or the type of gun we need, the right, you know, the trigger action, things like that, they can then find a gun that typically is going to work for you, correct?
Sure, yes. Yep.
So out of those 75, it's a pretty good range. Yeah. That's a really good range of...
There's a lot to choose from.
There's enough there where you can typically get an idea of, that's a gun that will typically work well for you or not work so well for you. And that comes down to caliber and even load when you start shooting as well, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It goes back to what you're going to be using it for. Is it going to stay at home? Is it for home defense? Is it something you're going to carry with you concealed or in your car? Is it something you're going to take with you when you go hunting to keep the bears away? You know, all these types of things factor into the type of gun you choose. But the most important is the fit.
And to Jacqueline's point, and we said this a little bit ago, that's why, and I'm always hesitant when somebody says, well, what should I buy? Right. Well, honestly, you know, the last thing to do is go pick up the latest gun magazine. Not that I have anything against gun magazines. I you know, there's a stack of them on my desk at home. I love them. They're great. They're great to read. The problem is even what one reviewer may actually like in that weapon, depending upon the way he or she shoots, the size of their hand, all the things that we just mentioned, even their hand-eye coordination, all those things come into play. Just because they like it and give it a thumbs up doesn't necessarily mean you're going to, right?
Exactly. Everybody's so different. My husband and I are a perfect example. So he's the co-owner of Bristlecone, and he loves Springfields, and I hate them. I love Glocks. He thinks they're terrible. So, you know, everybody, it's like shoes. Everybody's going to have
a different... I can shoot a Glock very well.
Yeah, different
fit. It just depends on the actual person. And it's a lot like, and I don't want to get into all these you know, gory things on air, but... We have the same thing that happens even on drive radio at times, like, you know, who likes Chevy, who likes Ford, who likes Dodge? Well, the reality is every one of those trucks will do what you want it to do. Some of it just comes down to brand preference and what you've liked and what you've been used to, or maybe what you grew up with. And it's not that one's worse than the other or any better than the other. In a lot of cases, it's just what you grew up with and what you like.
Yep.
Your preference. True. And that's fortunately why we live in America and we have more than one brand to choose from.
Very true.
How many gun, I don't know this answer, how many gun manufacturers are there actually?
Oh, there's more than I can count. And we certainly don't carry all of them. We try to carry the more reliable,
the popular ones.
You know, ones that are going
to
work when they're supposed to work.
I should say popular because there's some custom gunsmiths or some custom gun makers out there too that may not be the most popular brand, but build a very nice weapon that you guys probably still carry as well, right?
They do, and we do that as well. We've got two full-time on-site gunsmiths that can build a firearm from scratch, and we have that type of license with the ATF. So, yeah, a lot of people do like to do that, and then it's perfectly fitted to you.
Yeah, then it would be basically like buying a Rolls Royce where the car's fitted to you.
Right. But they can also take a firearm that you purchase at, you know, regular retail and make certain modifications. I have small hands as well. I like to shoot a Glock 19, but the grip is still a little bit too big for me, but it was as close as we could get to being perfect. The gunsmith can do a grip reduction and fit it exactly to your hand, so then it really shoots well. They can modify the trigger. They can, you know, do different things with the buttons and where they're placed to make it more, you know, appropriate for you.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot like, and I hate to keep going back to the car thing, but I know it very well, and I also know that a lot of people, in a lot of cases where a car gets a bad rap, it's not because the car was bad, it's because the person bought the wrong car to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're thinking, well, I'm never going to buy X ever again. Well, you dummy, you didn't buy the right car to begin with. It wasn't the car's fault.
Mm-hmm.
It was your fault for not buying the right car in the first place. I see guns getting similar raps at times where, well, I'll never buy another such and such. Well, wait a minute, time out. Is that because of the gun or was it because of you?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the way either you were using it or it didn't fit you correctly. And essentially what you're just saying a minute ago is you essentially can have that gun made and manufactured to fit you, much like a tailored suit would be, versus buying one off the rack.
Right.
Which, by the way, folks, there's a huge difference between, you know, one and the other.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think for 1 second, anybody that's on TV, you know, on a regular basis, not somebody that they're interviewing, but people that are on TV regularly all have fitted tailored suits made for them specifically. Why? Because it's the only way you can get a suit to really look good, correct? Shooting a gun, by the way, what Jacqueline said a moment ago, having a gun built just for you and then being able to go out and shoot that weapon, the problem is it spoils you. You'll never go back to the regular stock firearm again after you've done that, typically
right.
speaking.
Yeah, after
correct?
You make those modifications, yeah.
Am I right?
That's true.
Because it fits you like you've you've experienced something that most people never experience when you
right.
do that.
Right. And I think it's more common in the firearms industry for people to buy something stock and then modify it almost to the point where it's not recognizable as opposed to building from scratch, but you can do either.
Got it. And yeah. So I actually have to wonder, is it, I know from the car side of the fence, it might actually be cheaper just to go from scratch as opposed to actually doing all the heavy modifications to one you're currently just buying off the shelf and then doing all the modifications to.
Yeah, it certainly.
When it's all said and done, you might be better off just doing it from scratch. The problem is some people don't know that as they get into it. So it becomes this progression of, oh, I got a trigger job. Well, that was pretty nice. Well, oh, I'll get the grips modified now. Oh, well, that's pretty nice. Well, now I'll do whatever, and pretty soon when it's all said and done, they probably could have started off custom, but it took a while to get there.
Right, that's right.
Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so talk to us real quick. Well, Dan, you can interrupt.
No, go ahead. So I was just going to say, before we take the caller, I was hoping that Jacqueline could announce a special that she's going to run for Rush to Reason and KLZ listeners.
That works.
Absolutely. So we're going to offer either a couples membership or a family membership with $56 off of the initiation fee.
Right on.
Yeah.
We'll take that.
That's a great deal.
Yeah. $56 off, folks.
But here's the thing, is that family shooting is an excellent, excellent pastime and sport.
Yes.
And not only that, but Jacqueline, if I remember when you and I were talking, that kids as young as 10 with their parents can come and shoot. Is that correct?
Yep. And we do a lot of youth programs. Awesome. We have a youth league. We run Boy Scouts out of there, 4-H. Awesome. So we do get a lot of families, and they're enjoying the sport together.
And I'll tell you what, and let's say that one of the parents or somebody really doesn't like to shoot. Just hanging out there, it's a very comfortable place. Yep. It's great. When you're on the other side of the glass, it's very quiet. But you can stand there and watch as your family or your friends are shooting. It's fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah. Very, very good. All right, so $56 off. What do they have to do to get that?
They have to call or come in. And if you're considering a membership, I'd really encourage you to come in. Because like Dan said, it is a very different type of environment. It's non-intimidating. It's clean. It's well-lit.
You don't have to have a secret handshake?
Nope, you don't.
Because a lot do, by the way.
Not at all. And that was one of the reasons that we decided to go down this road in the first place. We wanted to create a place that was appropriate for all different levels of sports shooters, all walks of life, and that's really what we have in there.
All right, let's take a call. Michael, what's going on, sir?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Thanks for calling, Michael.
So first thing, John, I have a tip for you. Have you tried Sky guns?
No.
S-K-Y-Y? They have really good hand grips. My mom just picked up a 9mm Sky, and the magazine has a grip extension that you can take off or put onto it. For me, I leave it on so I have grip for my pinky, but my mom will actually take it off, and it's comfortable for her to use without the grip extension.
All right.
They make really nice 9mm. You can get them all colored and all sorts of cool stuff.
Okay.
But the question I had for
Jacqueline.
Jacqueline, thank you. Will your gunsmiths do a trigger job to lessen the tension spring? Because, like, right now, my 9mm, it's a Smith & Wesson. It's got about a 12-pound trigger pull, and I want to get it reduced to about a 6-pound. Can they do that?
Yep, they do that all the time. Yep.
Awesome. That's
easy answer.
That's perfect.
Okay. Michael, thanks. Yeah, so appreciate
Michael,
the phone call.
Yeah, bring it in over there and tell them that you heard it on Rush to Reason.
Yep, that's easy enough to do. So, times. When's the facility open? When can you buy a gun? You know, what are some of those limitations, or are there any?
Good question. We're open every day from 10 until 8. And the only difference in days is Saturdays we open at 9, close at 8. Sundays we open at 10 and close at 6.
Okay, so Sunday closed a little earlier, which makes total sense. So
The gunsmiths are there every day at noon, noon to 6 for the gunsmiths. And as far as purchasing a gun, anytime the retail is open, 10 to 8, 9 to 8, and 10 to 6.
So basically when the lanes are open, you can buy a gun?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I know there's a lot of places where, the lanes may be open, but the retail center is not open, and, everybody does that a little bit differently. In your case, if the doors are open, you're ready to go.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So just real quick, you got to tell us about your virtual shooting range. That thing looks really cool.
Yep, I forgot to mention that when you were asking me for an overview of the place. So we have two of these. They're virtual training simulators, and they were originally built for law enforcement and military agencies to train in a completely safe environment. So it's a multimedia 360-degree surround sound video game.
So you stand inside of a room?
It's in a room. Our classrooms double as virtual simulator rooms, and it projects across the entire back wall for both rooms. But there's a ton of content on there. Half of the simulator is recreational, and we rent it out a lot for corporate parties, bachelor parties, things like that, where people can come in and shoot zombies, gophers, deep-timed steel shoots, and it's a lot of fun. The other side of it has over 600 law enforcement 30 to 45-second shoot-no-shoot scenarios, and so different police forces use it to train their officers to learn when they can shoot, when they can't shoot, where the best shot is going to be the most effective, and we use that in some of our classes.
Very cool.
That is so cool.
Yeah, I'm guessing that wasn't a cheap endeavor to put two of those together.
No, definitely not. But it does have great training
now,
application and in
the
my
mind,
because
I haven't
really
been there, haven't seen it. In my mind, is the weapon tethered to something, or is it independent all by itself? How does that work?
It's independent and it operates with lasers, so it's laser recognition with the system itself.
Okay,
it's not a real firearm. It's plastic, but it's weighted and shaped exactly like a Glock 17, which is a very popular.
So you wouldn't know you were shooting a Glock?
No, but it feels like it. You can draw from a holster with it and practice that exercise. The system will also work with actual firearms that we modify to take CO2 cartridges, and then the firearm will recoil with a laser system. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
It is so cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm guessing what does law enforcement do? Do they use the second method like you just explained, I'm guessing?
They do. Actually, they use both. I mean, you would think they would use the CO2 modified actual weapons more, but there tend to be more malfunctions with the CO2 cartridges.
And they're probably worried more about what the officer's actually looking at and going to shoot at more so than the weapon itself, right?
Yeah.
Because they're getting his mind to think, or her mind, both, to think correctly when it comes to what to shoot at, right?
That's more what it's about. Those guys and gals get enough live fire range time that they get enough practice with the actual weapons.
That's cool.
The simulator is more about the decision.
So,
and if you're a concealed carry person, I think this should be something you do as part of your training. Because
really
if you're going to carry this gun around, you should be. So shooting at the range is one thing.
That's true.
It's totally another thing.
Shooting at somebody's totally
different. Shooting at somebody or deciding, do I shoot or not shoot?
Yeah, and I will tell you that even as long as I've been around weapons my whole life, hunted, fished, all that stuff, I mean, I've been around guns since I was, I don't know, good grief, 5-6 years of age probably. But, you know, I've never had to shoot at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my entire life I've been trained not to shoot at somebody. Because that's as kids, I mean, just even growing up, hunter safety, all the different things we do, the first thing you're taught is, you know, how to handle a weapon. And it's always away from anybody that you're around. You know, empty magazine, or you check the magazine, check the barrel, blah, blah, blah.
Treat it like it's loaded all the time.
All those different things. And you never, ever, ever, even when it's empty, do you ever point at someone, period.
Exactly.
So to Dan's point, yeah, that would be some valuable training because we're taught our entire lives to not point at people.
Yeah, I think it'd be the most valuable training.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We also, in addition to the simulator.
Cost for that? How does that work?
We rent the simulator in 10-minute. 30-minute and 60-minute increments. It's $50 for 60 minutes on there. And you're mostly using the recreational side of it. We use it in conjunction with another training environment that we have that's called a shoot house. So that's a 360-degree environment where we have an instructor, role players, who will work with you with simunitions, ammunition, which is a low-velocity actual bullet that goes in an actual gun, and that's even more realistic.
Wow.
So there we are replicating.
If you've never been shot with simunition, you've got to go do it.
Really?
It is an adrenaline rush like none other.
Really?
It is crazy.
Well, that's cool.
It's fun.
So that takes it up even one more notch. You have a live person, not a video person, even though it's a live action in the simulator video, but it's still a video.
Okay, so let's do this. Got to take a quick break. When we come back, what I do want to talk about, though, because this is a big deal, and I think it's very important for us to talk about this, especially with somebody like yourself, because there's lots of people out there listening, especially some ladies even, that are listening thinking, man, all this stuff, it sounds great. I love what you guys are talking about, but I would be so intimidated walking in the door that, you know, somehow we need to get them around some of that intimidation. So when we come back, let's talk about some of that and how we actually do
that. Yeah, just real quick, Bristol Cone Shooting, and for right now, KLZ listeners, Rush to Reason listeners, get $56 off either the family or the couple membership.
All right, so just mention Rush to Reason. That's all you got to do, folks. It's a $56 off. Michael Bailey Law coming up next. Mobile estate planning and all these different things we talked about. And some of you have large gun collections, things along those lines. You want to make sure that stuff is left to the people that you want it to go to. And Michael will do that. He will meet you wherever you want to meet, up and down the front range. And he loves our KLZ listeners. So please give Michael a call today, 720-394-6887, and tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
So you haven't called Michael Bailey, the mobile estate planner, yet. But really, what's the worst that could happen today? Well, first, you could die without a will. And then your oldest child will start a fight with the rest of your family about what should happen with what you left behind. And then, because you didn't take a little time to make a plan, all of your assets get tied up in the probate court. And because the court case takes so long to be settled, all of your spouse's savings get used up on legal fees and they're forced to move into that tent city on the outskirts of town because it's all they can afford. And your youngest child will have to join a secret military team as an undercover spy just to make ends meet. All while your oldest grows more resentful because they feel entitled to your assets and they become a wild-eyed megalomaniac and end up building an elaborate slow-moving torture laser that they use on your youngest while monologuing about world domination. Now you get the point? All of this could happen because you didn't call Michael Bailey, the mobile estate planner, while you still had a chance. Call Michael Bailey at 720-394-6887 to avoid the worst that could happen. He'll come to you and get your will drafted today.
Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next, and you can drive with confidence by going to Extreme Auto Repair in the heart of Parker. Good friend of mine, Dennis Brewster, he would love to take care of you and your vehicle. And keep in mind, they've got all the latest tools to do anything you want to do. They literally are the dealership alternative. 303-841-1071. That's their phone number. Call Dennis and the guys today, and when you do, tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
Thanks to Extreme Auto Repair, I can stop stressing out about my car breaking down. I don't take very good care of my car because I don't know how. Most of the time, I drive around hoping that my car will still run tomorrow, as terrible as that sounds. When it's freezing cold outside, that fear gets a lot worse. Honestly, I just want to know that my car will work. I need someone I can trust to give me a professional opinion about whether or not my car will make it through the winter. Because I listened to KLZ, Dennis Brewster told me he would take a look at my car for free. He'll ask one of his techs to write a report with advice about what I should fix. Now I'll get a clear picture of what I need to accomplish so I can actually drive with confidence. You can be smarter than I was. Instead of vaguely fretting about whether your car will keep going all winter long, find out what your car needs now at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Jacqueline Clark with us from Bristlecone Shooting. And we didn't mention this earlier. Jacqueline, what's your website?
It's bristleconeshooting.com, and it's tough to spell. B-R-I-S-T-L-E-C-O-N-E.
So just like bristlecone, exactly. Shooting.com.
Okay, so Jacqueline, I find this really interesting. Just before we get back into it, why the name Bristlecone?
Well, we wanted something different, and I think we achieved that. But yep. My husband's name is Brian, and I wasn't going to let him name it Brian's Bullet Barn.
Good for you, by the way.
Yeah, really.
We wanted something that reflected our passion for Colorado and the outdoors. Our house looks over at Mount Evans, and they have that Bristlecone, conservatory area over there. And just learning a little bit more about those trees, there's some interesting parallels between the Bristlecone pine and the Second Amendment and the firearms industry and its place in the American culture.
Okay.
The Bristlecone pines, some of the ones that are still around, are the oldest living organisms on the planet. They're native to Colorado and California, and there's some of them out there that are close to 5,000 years old. And wow. When they age, they do lose all their needles, but they kind of twist and turn in the wind, but they're still alive. So very, very similar to the Second Amendment. It's always there. Firearms have always been a part of the American culture, and they're always going to be there.
Yep. Let's hope.
People's opinions may change over time, but they are a constant. And so we thought that it was a unique and different name for a shooting range retail training center, and we are very different, so we wanted to reflect that.
All right, so the folks that are out there listening, whether they're, accustomed to it like I am, or maybe there's somebody that's just getting into it, or maybe they feel like, all the stuff going on, maybe it's time that I did, maybe I should. It's not that I'm ever, I'm speaking for them. Maybe they're not against owning firearms, but they just never have because they've never really felt the need to. But maybe now, mm-hmm. with everything going on, they're thinking, maybe I should get into it. Maybe I should investigate it. But I don't know the secret handshake. I don't know when to go in to a place and what to say and how to act. And let's face it, there are those places out there where if you don't know the secret handshake, you're not going to get the time of day when you walk in the door. Mm-hmm. It's not that way with you guys. So explain
exactly.
Some of that.
Exactly. Our mission, when we first thought about opening a shooting range and retail center in Lakewood, was to create a non-intimidating environment. Because Brian and I had been through the exact same type of experience.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yep, exactly.
Even as somebody that has mm-hmm. shot a lot, when you walk, and you can talk the talk, yep. It can still be intimidating at times, right?
It can be, and I got into it later in life. I didn't grow up around firearms, okay. And look at me now. We got into it because of a home invasion scare that we had. We lived in Atlanta for a while, and so we got into it as adults, and we went through so many places that were not friendly to women. I would ask a question about a gun I was interested in, and they would turn and answer to Brian. Mm-hmm.
Number one rule of retail, don't do that.
Exactly. But it still happens, unfortunately, in the firearms industry. So when we got ready to open, we were committed to finding the right staff that is
That's
focused
key.
On customer service.
Yes.
We have plenty of product knowledge amongst our staff, but they're not all gun geeks. They're people that are, experienced with retail and know how to work with customers.
Thank you.
In
That's
a
better,
friendly,
actually.
Friendly environment.
Yeah, because the other thing that I've noticed happens at some places, and I know this isn't the case with yours, but you walk up to the counter and there's three or four regular customers that are, kicking around because they got nothing better to do other than hang out at the mm-hmm. gun range all day long. And they can themselves be somewhat intimidating to that new person walking up, especially if the person behind the counter doesn't really understand the retail environment right. and what that takes. And to your point, it takes the right person behind the counter to make all that happen correctly.
Exactly.
And it's not that we don't want the other persons there. Sure. We want everybody, but we don't want it to be intimidating to that novice that's just walking in the door.
Right. So we're very focused on customer service and the range environment. The range, our staff is very focused on safety, and the range is well lit. It's comfortable. It's very well ventilated. There are windows, like Dan mentioned, where, you know, family members or people in your group who might not want to be in the live fire range can watch and still
see
be
what's
part
going
of the
on.
Action.
Cool.
Yep. So it gives it a very open feel. And we also operate with a range safety officer in there on the line at all times. So
very
that makes
cool.
it a little bit more friendly yeah. and educational for people yeah. that are coming as
yeah,
a
Yeah, and there's
shooter.
Both male and female range
Correct.
Safety officers in there,
well,
which,
nice
is, which is really
well,
nice.
Is. Okay, so one last question I have. Do you have to be a member to shoot, or can you just go in and rent a lane for a time?
Nope, you can walk in off the street. So we do sell memberships, but we're also open to the public.
Okay.
And our traffic is about 50-50. So okay. We welcome both types of
I'm guessing
of customers
better deal
and,
if you're a member.
Yes, if you're a member, you don't have to pay to shoot on the lanes, oh. and then you can make a reservation. That's one of the biggest benefits, according to our members, of the membership itself. So you can make reservations
online. So you can go online ahead of time?
Yep, or you can call, and your lane is ready and waiting when you get there.
So you could block mm-hmm. out 30 minutes to shoot or whatever you want to do. It's all there, ready to go. You show
exactly.
up, and off you go.
Exactly. If you're coming in off the street, sometimes there will be a wait
sure.
on the busier days. But yeah.
That's the advantage of having a membership,
mm-hmm.
which
exactly.
right now is $56 off.
Exactly.
All yep. you got to mention is Rush to Reason, piece of cake.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
All right, what did we forget? We're about out of time.
So let's see, the range, and not only that, you know, Marie and I went over there, and I just want to stress this again. And Marie knows nothing about guns.
Right.
Right. She shot a shotgun once, scared her. She never wanted to go again. But anyway, but when you walk in, Marie and I walked in right away, somebody came up. There were the groupies there,
mm-hmm.
but somebody broke away, came up and said, how can I help you folks?
Right on.
What can we do for you? What, you know, what do
Very
you need?
Cool.
And so that was really, really refreshing, because the last thing you want to do is go interrupt that conversation as
yep.
a newbie.
That's right.
So great, great customer service.
Good stuff.
And
all
once
right.
again, the website?
BristleConeShooting.com.
All right, let's do this.
Jack,
Front Range Mortgage
you.
Coming up next. If you're a vet without a VA loan, call Brian Murphy today. He would love to help you out. His number 303-500-1900. Call Brian now and tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
If you are a Colorado veteran and you are not in a VA mortgage, you've probably been lied to. If you're a veteran and not in a VA mortgage, 99% guaranteed, you're paying too high a rate, throwing away thousands of dollars a year to a bank that will never tell you they're taking you for a ride. As a vet, you're entitled to use a VA loan over and over again. You should be paying zero in mortgage insurance, and you can take out 100% of the value of your home for paying off credit cards. Your bank is never going to tell you how much you're throwing away, but I will. I'm Brian Murphy, owner of Front Range Mortgage, a local Colorado-only mortgage team that has helped hundreds of veterans to drop their mortgage insurance, save thousands, lowering their payments, and pay off high-interest credit cards. Call me and my local team for a painless 5-minute conversation to see how much we can save you. Our number, 303-500-1900. That's 303-500-1900, or visit frontrangemortgage.com. NMLS 378844, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, that is a wrap on our first hour today. John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560, Dan Muir, Cassie George, Jacqueline Clark joining us from Bristlecone Shooting. So, folks, please go by there, say hi, tell them we sent you. $56 off their full membership. You can do that as a single. You can do it as a family. But most of all, go by and say hi. And even if you just go by and shoot and buy a gun, still tell them you heard them on Rush to Reason. We would appreciate that greatly. So, Jacqueline, thank you very much. With that, we'll be out of here. Hour number two coming up next. John Rush, Dan Muir, Cassie George, and our great engineer, Charlie Grimes, right here on Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.